Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And before we get into our readings, I want to just let you know that this past week we celebrated the Feast of All Saints, which was a spectacular day at St. Mary's Cathedral in the city of Trenton. All of the kids were sitting up front, all dressed as different saints. And it was just such a beautiful thing to see as we sat on the altar during the Mass, to see the effort that the kids and their parents put forth to really make a statement as to the feast of all of the saints that came to mind. And so we want to thank the parents out there who did a great job of getting their kids prepared for the Feast of All Saints. And also I want to let you know that on Wednesday evenings we teach the confirmation class over there from 6 to 8 p.m. And I want to say congratulations to Victoria, who scored a 98% on her religion test. And my friends, you know, it takes a lot of work to get good grades. And a lot of our children do a great job because they put the time in and they are being mentored by their parents to really make the extra effort to put the time in and to go the extra mile for the Lord. And so with that, once again, we say congratulations to all of those children who are doing well in school and to their parents who really support them, especially in religious education. So let's go to our first reading, my friends. But once again, before we do, let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions at this time? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. And 9 to 14. And here it is. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking with the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise up us to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again. Even the king of his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope that God gives us being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second book of Maccabees, my friends, we are given a great message about courage and standing up for our faith by these brothers. And where are you and I positioned with regard to our faith? Are we ready to stand up and to truly, you know, suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ready to take a position on our faith and on the issues that are important to Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? The morals, the values, the principles. What is it, my friends, that you and I will be called to do like the brothers here and the family who was tortured by the king? Think about it, my friends. What are you and I ready to do for God? And how are you suffering today? Are we offering it up for the holy souls in purgatory? Are we offering up our sufferings because we're in good company with our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered a great deal in his road to Calvary before he was put to death, being nailed on the cross? We all have a choice to make, my friends, a decision to make. And for believing in Jesus Christ, we will be tested at a specific moment, and it will be our choice on how we handle that. It will not be easy, because it may be painful. But God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us spiritually to lift ourselves up through the strength that he gives us, through the Holy Spirit. And like the brothers, my friends, who were tortured, you and I one day may be called to do the same. And we pray right now that God will give us the courage, the strength to persevere, to endure at those very moments that we are called. Let's go to our second reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 16 and chapter 3 verse 5. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified, as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord, that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the letter from St. Paul to the Thessalonians, once again, St. Paul provides tremendous guidance and directions. And he tells us to have faith in Jesus Christ, to be encouraged, to be inspired, and that our hearts will be strengthened in every good deed and every word. What good deeds, my friends, are you doing today that God has prepared you for? God will give you responsibilities that you never had, but first He will prepare you. He will open doors that no man can close, and He will close doors that no man can open. In the word from St. Paul today, we are given another message about, truly about the circle of influence, people around us who have no faith. The word goes on to say that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. What is your circle of influence today? Is it positive or negative? Are the people around you building you up or tearing you down? Are they pushing you towards God or taking you away from Him? Be objective, my friends, because if you and I need to make changes within our circle of people around us, now is the time to do it. Don't wait until they make a greater impact, wasting more and more of our time. God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to like-minded people who really are dedicated, committed, and who are persevering in their faith in Christ Jesus. It's powerful. So if you have changes to make, it could be family members, friends, co-workers who are drawing you into the wrong things, drawing you away, and with excess drinking, excess gambling, excess time away from the church, making commitments that get in the way of going to church on Sundays. God says, keep holy the Sabbath day. And there are many masses from Saturday evening to Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. You can always find a mass to go to, my friends. Is there any reason why you and I don't go to church? That we can't find a church? There is no mass today? Think about it. Excuses are a dime a dozen. And you and I, you know, as good men, good women, are called to go to church on Sunday, to keep holy the Sabbath day. It's a special day that God, you know, calls us to be one with Him in the church. Keep holy. A day of rest. God wants us to rest on that day. Rest in the Spirit. God calls us once again to make time for Him, quality time, to not rush into church and rush out driving away in a huff, but to go to church with peace instead of, you know, with turmoil, chaos, being forced to go for the wrong reasons. God wants you to want Him. He wants you to go and enjoy the Holy Mass, to receive communion with a peaceful heart. God calls us, my friends, once again, to identify the people in our lives who are pulling us away from Him and to make changes, to witness to them, to win them over and to bring them to the church, bring them to God's house by introducing them to the love of God, the peace of God through the Word of God. And this, my friends, is important. But there are those out there who are faithless. The atheists, the agnostics, the people who are self-centered, solely thinking about their own gain. I want you to think about your circle and perfect your circle. Once again, God brings like-minded people together, and you and I have an opportunity every day to get closer to the Lord, but it will be up to you and I to make that choice. God will never force us, but he will encourage us, encourage our hearts, and strengthen our hearts as we do good deeds and share the word of God. He will repay us with the peace and joy of the Lord, which only he can provide. You cannot buy it. So in doing good works, in feeding the hungry, visiting people in the hospital, praying the rosary at nursing homes, being there to cook dinner for your children, to make breakfast for your children, to share a blessing at the dinner table, God will bless you for the good deeds that you do. He will repay you with the peace and joy that only he can provide in your heart. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. And here it is. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac,' and he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For all to him are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we are provided with a tremendous message and insight to the faith that there are those out there we call Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection. And they are part of the opposition. It's our job to educate them, to inspire them, to lead by example so that they can be inspired, encouraged to join us in our worship of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. But there are those out there who don't believe, and we will be challenged. And like I said to the children in the confirmation class 2 weeks ago, what will you do, my friends, when someone disagrees with your position on your faith, doesn't believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What will you do? How will you handle this? And I said, the answer is, you're going to do exactly what God says to do. You're going to treat others as you would like to be treated and practice the golden rule. You're going to lead by example. You're going to love one another, the second greatest commandment. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. These are the instructions given to us by God himself. And that is ultimately how to handle Because there will be those days when people are provocative, trying to draw you into a fist fight, into a bad situation. But we will give testimony, and we will educate, we will motivate, and we will inspire people with zeal and enthusiasm, with great passion. We will give 100% as we deliver the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will not lose faith, but we will carry on. We will persevere as we deliver the message of the gospel. Many years ago, there was a gentleman I was working with in a project in Trenton, 12-story high-rise. And as we went to Home Depot, he questioned me about the work I was doing. And he said, "What is it that you do?" And we started to talk about faith. And I introduced the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, "No, it didn't happen." And he denied that there is a resurrection. And I turned and looked at him, and I was shocked. I was surprised. I was stumped. And there was quiet for about 30 seconds. And I said to him, "You know, I said, you have a great family in your life. You have some great children. Where do your kids go to school?" And he shared with me that they went to a Catholic school. So something within that man inspired him to bring his kids into a Catholic school where the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. It's the core of our faith. And although he showed a large ego and denied that it ever took place, I tried to make an impact on him. But ultimately, only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, can draw him in to the faith as we are called. Only God can do it. The reading goes on to talk about that the children of this age marry and remarry. And that's so true. The value of marriage is very, very important. Placing more value on the matrimony of one man and one woman that God calls us to in the book of Genesis. He says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. And the two will become one flesh. They will be fruitful and multiply. God calls them to subdue and to basically take the earth over, to dominate as human beings. And so today I want to share with you the celebration of matrimony from the order of celebrating matrimony, which is stated at every marriage ceremony. And here it is. "Dearly beloved, you have come together here before a minister of the church and in the presence of the community so that your intention to enter into marriage may be strengthened by the Lord with a sacred seal and your love be enriched with his blessing so that you may have strength to be faithful to each other forever and to assume all the responsibilities of married life. And so, in the presence of the church, I ask you to state your intentions. Mr. and Mrs., have you come here to enter into marriage without coercion, freely and wholeheartedly?" And they have to answer yes to that? I have. Are you prepared as you follow the path of marriage to love and honor each other for as long as you both shall live? And the answer, I am. Are you prepared to accept children lovingly from God and to bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? And the answer, I am. Since it is your intention to enter the covenant of holy matrimony, join your right hands and declare your consent before God and His church. And you see, my friends, this is the terminology, the phraseology that the church uses for centuries to bring people together in that bond of marriage so that they don't marry and remarry and remarry on and on and on. Because those are tough situations, and God calls us to marriage, but He wants it to be a marriage that is Christ-centered, where He is at the core to help them, as the Word says, to strengthen them, help them to persevere. And the order of celebrating matrimony goes on to say, I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, to be my wife. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. And then the bride will say, I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, to be my husband. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. These are the words from the Order of Celebrating Matrimony that are used by all priests and deacons who celebrate that wonderful gift we call matrimony. And my friends, we want to raise the standard to get that message out to our children and our grandchildren that marriage is not something to take lightly. It's not something that we enter into quickly, swiftly, but it's something that we think about, consider, prepare for, pray about, and have God lead us and guide us through the Holy Spirit right down the aisle to that celebration of matrimony, where witnesses who are in our family, who are in our friendships, are there to celebrate with us. My friends, I challenge you today to bring this message to your children, your grandchildren, and to all people that you know, so we can preserve and protect the wonderful gift of marriage that God has given us. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. And clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.